Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, we have passed the salt.
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, this is one of those days that I wish I could do double speed. You guys ever watch YouTube videos? By the way, YouTube. You know, they so messed up my life. I get a bunch of old videos that in my email. And I go back and I pull an old video. Like, I was looking for some videos last night. And I go in there. Oh, say, there it is. And so I pulled up my email and I click on it. And it's not there anymore because it was on my YouTube page. And YouTube pulled down my... YouTube canceled my page. Canceled my page. Can you believe that? All that stuff. Luckily, we've captured it. But it's so hard to find it at Coach Dave. I'm sorry, Jared. I'm not making fun of anybody. It's hard to find anything at YouTube. It's hard to find anything there. And I want to double talk because I got so much stuff I want to talk about today. Let me get up and running. We're going to go to the Mike Spaulding Go Therefore conference to this weekend. Starts at 1 o'clock today. So I show's over. Got to get packed. Well, we're somewhat packed. Michelle and I heading down there and going to run into some great Patriots and some great friends, and looking forward to being part of that. And I believe he's doing live streaming on it. I would suggest that you try to become part of that. And so excited about another really, really good weekend ahead of us. Clay just texted me. Five places left down at the event Clay's having. Five seats. He said five beds and a couple pull-out couches are available. So if you want to go to that, you better get a hold of Clay and get a hold of Clay in a hurry. We got the Gospel Gunslinger with us coming up today. You know me, I don't do guests. And here we are doing back-to-back guests. But I want to show you, I got a couple things I want to show you real quick before I bring Sam in here, because I think they apply to it, okay? Or at least they're associated with it. Number one, up on the screen right now, I got to show you this just because I'm proud of it. We're going on Brighteon TV. Now, I really don't know what that means. I don't know how many people that is. I don't know. I really don't know. But our show is going to be on Brighteon TV on Mondays from 11 until noon. And I hate to tell you this. I think it's Central Time. I'm not sure. So it'd be like noon to one, right? Mondays, I thought it was a half hour. They're giving me an hour. And I produced this promo yesterday. And I want you to watch this promo. I had a guy tell me one time when I was in a radio station, he said, Coach, I've never seen anybody like you. You're the one-take wonder. You're just the one-take wonder. And I am the one-take wonder. And this, I want you to watch this three-minute video promo that Brighteon TV is going to start running now. This was a one-take. Jared recorded it for me. Didn't even know what I was going to say. I said, Jared, you just start it, and I'll just start talking. And that's what we did. So this is a three-minute, one-take wonder that's going to start playing on Brighteon TV. And by the way, friends, please tune in and watch this when it comes on, because I think numbers are going to matter. I think it really matters to them, okay? So world preview of the Coach Dave Live Brighteon promo. Go ahead, play that real quick. Hey, hi, friends. My name is Coach Dave Dobenmeyer. And boy, am I excited to be part of Brighteon TV that's going to be coming your way here soon. I know a little bit about the cancel culture. I was a high school football coach in the Columbus, Ohio area in 1997 when I was sued by the American Civil Liberties Union for having prayer with our football teams. Can you imagine that? Prayer with your football teams? All my time of 30 years as a coach at that point, all the years I'd played in high school and college, I'd never played a football game without a prayer. But in 1997, the American Civil Liberties Union came knocking on our door and went through a two-year battle with the ACLU for my God-given right to be able to pray. Well, shortly thereafter, I walked away from teaching and coaching. I didn't get fired, didn't lose my job, but went undefeated our last year of coaching and walked away and started Pass the Salt Ministries. It comes from Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, which says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses his savor, it is henceforth good for nothing except to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men."
So I launched out into this new ministry, and I thought, I'm just going to get out there, and I'm going to try to awaken people to what's going on. The British are coming. That's what I was telling them, trying to warn pastors, trying to warn Christians. Remember, folks, this is 21 years ago. And here we are, 2021. And the cancel culture is alive and well. We begin our program, Coach Dave Live, Pass the Salt, Coach Dave Live, on Brighteon TV, Mondays from 11 o'clock till noon. And I hope that you'll tune in as we're going to try to show you that this battle that we're in America is a spiritual war. It's a battle that manifests in the natural from the spiritual realm. That we have to begin to understand that what's happening to us didn't just begin here, that there's a spiritual component. We're a training ground. We're an area where you're going to be able to come and you're going to be trained, equipped, and mobilized to be able to fight back against the forces of darkness that are currently ravaging our community. If your community is going to change and my community is going to change, we better, first of all, know the enemy, understand how the enemy operates, and then be prepared to use all of the weaponry we have to fight back against those forces of darkness. Pass the Salt with Coach Dave Dobbelmeyer, Coach Dave Live, 11 to noon, Brighteon TV. We have got to begin to push back against this cancel culture, and there's no better place to do it than right here. I hope you join us 11 till noon on Brighteon TV. Look forward to doing a little bit of coaching with you. God bless you.
All right, folks. So I guess we're up and running on Brighteon TV. I don't know whether I start Monday. Don't know when I start, but oh my goodness. Exciting times. Listen, I want to get Pastor Sam in here, but I got to show you. I got to give you a couple more things before we do. Sam, I know you're chomping at the bit. I can see your feet running in place there. Just hang on there a second. Folks, pull up the LA Times article real quick. Pull it up there. 20% of LA County's corona cases in June were vaccinated people. Do you understand the magnitude of this, friends? 20% of the new coronavirus cases in June were on people who are vaccinated. Do you get it? Do you understand the magnitude of this thing? That you get vaccinated, and then, now, of course, they say, well, that's not surprising, right? That's not surprising because, boy, we put this in people's blood systems. Of course, it'd be more. Why don't they tell us that? Why didn't they just let it run its course? Okay, next thing, number two, click on the next one, Children's Health Defense. How about this? Some people in Indiana University are fighting back. They're suing. I ain't taking no jab. They're fighting back at Indiana University. Not taking no jab because there's another jab coming. There's another shutdown coming. And there's another mask coming. And then I got this video today. Play this one. It just says YouTube. It's a third. Yeah. Hey, folks. This is why what we're talking about is so important. This is a TikTok video, whatever the heck that means. And let me promise you, all right, this is in the mindset of many people, especially those in positions of authority. It's 1 minute. It says it's time to deal with unvaxxed people. Here you go. Go ahead.
Very controversial to some people. But the reality is that we now need forced vaccinations on the unvaccinated population. If not now, at some point over the next year, we are going to have to use force to vaccinate those who would otherwise delay and make impossible the herd immunity that we so desperately need. Now, how we go about forcing these people to become vaccinated or to volunteer or to be physically held down and vaccinated, I don't know. But what I do know is we will probably need the police and the army and the community to come together and to knock on some doors and say, look, guys, you know, time's up and it's time to have your jab. It's not going to be pretty, but I do think it's the moral thing to do. And although some conventions prohibit it, I do think we can work through that.
Isn't it amazing how they love to have their morality, right? Same thing as Facebook. So in other words, the moral thing to do would be to get Steve Deck, tie his arms behind him, lay him down and jab him. That would be the moral thing to do, see, right? Huh, folks? This is exactly why those of us who carry the name of Christ need to be more assertive in our values, more vocal in what we believe, to stand up and push back, because they're going to have such a clampdown on us if we don't wake. Okay, hang on. Before one more minute, Sam, I'm going to bring you in. I've become thoroughly convinced. I've been reading a lot of stuff in the last couple of days. Folks, are you looking at me? The FBI is wicked. The FBI is wicked! Now, they're probably watching me. The FBI was behind. Do you know that they finally admitted yesterday not one person was charged with a gun offense at the armed insurrection in Washington, D.C. Not one gun charge. And now we find out that not only were there no gun charges, but the FBI had infiltrated the mob, and the FBI agents were the one breaking the windows and forcing people to go in. Oh, yeah. And, you know, their narrative is rapidly falling apart. Folks, we live in, like, my goodness, we live in unbelievable times. That's why I have the gospel gunslinger, Sam Hanala. Say it for me, Sam. Arnold.
We were German centuries ago.
Yeah, as a German. The gospel gunslinger. I met Sam. You guys didn't know I don't do guests back to back, but Sam, this is a good one. Sam's a warrior, gospel gunslinger. I met him when we were down at the Patriot Church in someplace in Tennessee a couple months ago. And Sam came up and just gave me a big old bear hug and was just full of energy. I thought, man, this is my kind of guy. But Sam is the gospel gunslinger. Throw his website up there. And Sam's going to talk about some of the same stuff that we're dealing with here, right? He ain't some softy sitting in some church praising the Lord and waving flags, folks. He's out on the front lines. He does some good preaching. He does some videos. He does a Bible study. Sam, come on in here, man. You got 48 minutes, brother, to prove your worth here. Those of us at Coach Dave.
Let's party. Hey, thanks for having me, Coach Dave. Welcome to everybody in the huddle. I'm really enjoying getting on your program the first two times. You know, when I went to that conference in Tennessee, I actually snuck into the country for that. It was one of my few times to pop across the Rio Grande, and now I'm done with that. I'm a refugee in Mexico. The heat on the conservative media is too high. The Arkansides are too high. I have to continue to broadcast from Mexico, and that's where I'm at right now. So you can see the wall falling apart. I got some Pitweilers running around here in the room. And
Sam, do you think they're watching me, Sam?
They're definitely watching you, Dave. I got a lot of comments on the FBI. Yeah, when I came in to go to that Black Robes conference, there were drones on the highway at night that were keeping up, running 80 miles an hour, watching me. And a lot of more people know about you than about me. So, yes, definitely. We're all fish in a barrel right now. We need to be prepared to defend ourselves. And that's part of what the Gospel Gunslingers is about. I actually had one of my people that follows my morning Bible study on Telegram. I do a 3-minute lesson every day, verse of the day for Gospel Gunslingers. And somebody asked me, what is a Gospel Gunslinger? And what's the game of chess, man? It's a moment to learn and a lifetime to master. The bottom line is that we love the Lord and we sling iron. We research the Bible doctrines of our forefathers of self-government and self-defense. And really, Dave, those doctrines are lost. So that's why I teach on that every day. But then again, you know, when I'm teaching on that every day and somebody comes and asks me, what is this? I understand it's a little bit of an oxymoron to start, but only because, like you say, Coach, the church has lost its saltiness.
Amen.
The people who claim the Lord Jesus Christ, they've forgotten about how we built this country. They've forgotten about, and we've forgotten about, our nation has forgotten about what our ancestors were and what they believed. And really, most of the church culture is steeped, it's homoerotic. It's steeped in a licentious, emasculate way that's, it's not biblical. It's not biblical and it's not pleasing to God. And we need to learn how to take, as men, to take back our masculinity, and as women, to stand up for their rights. There's a lot of pistol packing mamas that come out for the verse of the day, and they're all very much welcome.
Let me camp right there a second, Sam, because one of the themes of this show is that our pulpits have, they've womanized us, haven't they, Sam? They've womanized us. What is your the reaction that you get, Sam, from what we would call mainstream Christianity?
Well, the moment that I throw down a military term like grabastic, which is a pretty plain vanilla one, I try to keep it clean on the airwaves, but people don't understand what that is. And it has to do with horseplay. It has to do with childishness, and it has to do with horseplay and game playing that's homoerotic. And the fact is, this is all around our church. This culture has seeped in and really pressed godly masculinity and godly womanhood off to the side. And so we need to take that back. And if you're in a place like that, I just can't encourage you to stay put and try to change it from the inside out. I would say Revelation 18, come out of her, my people. These are our ancient enemies that our forefathers fled from Europe. And now it's all seeped in. The one world religion is already here. And I've had to uproot and take refuge in another land. This is my actual asylum claim that's before the president of Mexico, so that we can begin to rebuild journalism. And so that is the time that it is. For those who think that they can hide and wait this out, it's just not going to work.
Sam,
I have to stand up.
Are you Hispanic, Sam?
I'm not.
You're not Hispanic.
You know, my name's Honold, which is German. And my
by the way, you could pass for it a bit, you know? Go ahead.
Thank you. My blue eyes kind of shine out, but I do speak Spanish. I live in Mexico. And I asked my grandfather before he died, I said, Grandpa, when you were a little boy, did you ever hear German being spoken by the older generations that, you know, would have been born in 1850 or something like that? And my grandpa, he cocked his head and he said, the only foreign language I've ever heard spoken in our family is Spanish lately. Grandpa Sam kind of said it all. Spanish.
So how did you become the gospel gunslinger? And Sam, how did you get so active down there on the border area? Because we had a show yesterday. We were talking about child trafficking and all that kind of stuff going on. And I'm sure you're right in the middle of all that, aren't you, Sam?
I'm right in the middle of it. And we're going to talk about that. Spencer's got some picks to throw up. And this is the final thing that caused the alphabet soup to go absolutely hog wild and crazy. And I'm seeing the questions come in. There's a very few things having to do with ongoing cases that I'm going to be very careful and not answer every question on. But one of them is this case. Spencer, can you throw up that wanted picture, that Amber Alert picture?
Okay, hang on a second. Okay. Sam, I want people to understand this. He has applied for asylum in Mexico because he does not feel safe in the U.S. of A. Is that right, Sam? You've appealed to the Mexican government that you can live there under the asylum laws.
Now, I've preached in Mexico and visited and popped in and out of Mexico. I'm a lifelong, really, Latin American missionary, and I've been to Central America and I've been to South America. But the heart of Hispanic America is Mexico City, where I'm at right now. And so it's very important to understand that this is a great nation. It's a nuclear power. They have a military. Their economy is way bigger than the other nations on down into Central America and South America, with the exception of Brazil, that's not Spanish speaking. And so I'm right in the heart of, really, this was the capital of the New World. This was the capital of New Spain. These nations all followed our example in 1776. Ben Franklin and our forefathers wrote letters to the Mexican leaders of those days and encouraged them, hey, you can do this. You can throw off the yoke from Europe. You can go to war against the Europeans and send them packing and rule yourselves. And there were highly educated people in Mexico and other places. Mexico did not go first. That was Argentina in 1806. But in 1810, Mexico did declare independence. And then really it took 100 years until the Spanish-American War to fully get the Europeans and to get the Pope out of the Americas. And then Mexico City is historically the heart of it. So I understand that the average American thinks that there's you cross the border and it's nothing but roving gangs and cactuses and poverty and burning plastic and everything like that. really am in the greatest city in the world. There's over 50 million people here. There are over 100 foreign consulates and foreign representations here. And so that's the city where I'm at right now.
And Sam, also, I'm sorry, Sam. And they're Christians, right? Catholics, but we're talking about really a Catholic Christian nation, right, Sam? This isn't Islam. This isn't something far left. These are Christian people.
Well, really, we preach against that. And here again, the American really doesn't understand that Latin America was subject to a brutal conquest, to brutal rape campaigns by Columbus and the Catholic powers. It was the Pope that moved in. It wasn't really the Spanish or the Portuguese. It was the global papist empire that came in and conquered the Americas. And so while they have some form of godliness from that Catholicism, all the revolutionaries of Mexico came out from that. All three of the main wars that were fought were to get the priests out of the schools, to get the land. 80% of Mexico, 80% of the land in Mexico was owned by the papacy, and Benito Juarez kicked them out, nationalized that land, and built the aldea system, the village system that endured for over 100 years until the Clintons uprooted it with their migration plan. And so there is this history. The people know about God some, but there's a very strong, thriving evangelical movement. The Pentecostal movement is very strong, especially in the north, where the violence is the worst. That's where the people that believe in the power of God and believe in healing the sick, speaking in tongues, and dealing with enemy strongholds by prophecy are really flourishing. And that's a place that I've done a lot of work. And I really want to talk as time goes on. I want you to jump in from time to time because I've really got a million different topics. But in the north there, I want to talk about how the migrant crisis happened and how it's our government that's behind it and not something in another country.
Okay, Sam, listen, don't encourage me to interrupt anymore. I do enough of that on my own, okay? No encouragement for interruptions. Go ahead, brother.
Rockin', there is a lot of witchcraft in Mexico. A lot of people came to study shamanism, and they still come to study shamanism. This is a comment that somebody put up, and I'm happy to take your questions.
We'll give you a chance to answer questions here. Go ahead and do what you want to do, and then we'll get them in here. Okay, bud?
Rock on. The witchcraft in Mexico has morphed into the religion of the death saint. It's morphed into the religion of the cartels, where they have the tattoo on their arm of the Black Mary, the skeletal Mary. And this is a very powerful demon religion. They practice witchcraft. They practice sorcery. It's extremely dangerous. You know, Sarah A. Carter, an excellent journalist, just put out an article within the last 48 hours, and she was talking about a cache of weapons, armored vehicles, and armor that was found, body armor that was found on the Mexican border in what is the state of Tamaulipas. That's the one. If you go down to the tip of Texas and you cross, you're in the state of Tamaulipas. It's a place I've worked a lot. So, yes, those weapons are there. She found that. I mean, it was like it was six vehicles. So maybe for a 20-man team with long arms, they say in Spanish, armas largas y armas cortas. They had rifles and pistols and shells for them all. But here's the thing. All that was built up. This is not that Mexico is a failed state. There was a governor, and really he's still in Tamaulipas state. He's been sanctioned by the central government and brought up in Congress. But that governor, his name's Francisco Javier Garcia, and then this is the part to remember, Cabeza de Vaca. And Cabeza de Vaca is the Bushite. The Bush family put him up to building these drug empires and transnational criminal organizations and human trafficking, and it's so bad. And, okay, back to this picture that's up on the screen.
Sam, the Bushes wouldn't do that. You must have the wrong people. Go ahead.
CIA head Bush. Follow my Twitter, guys. Follow my blogs on subscribestar.com/gospelgunslingers, where I break down the Bush crime family, the connections, the merit initiative money, how this army was built, that the BBC reported on it. And Simon Reeves on BBC America actually went in and drove around in all the armored vehicles, 50 caliber heavy guns, helicopters overhead, and Simon Reeves just going, wow, it's really that dangerous. Feel like, I mean, it was funny watching Simon Reeve as they got him all armored up and got a helmet on him. And he didn't even realize that this was Bush money to create this heavily militarized police force and heavily militarized cartels that are really both on the same side. And it was supposed to be a rebellion against the central government. Fortunately, by the power of prayer, we have gotten that changed.
So, okay, Sam, let's get to this. Let's get to this video here. Come on.
It's just a picture.
Okay, let's get to the picture.
This is an Amber Alert. This is an Amber Alert for an endangered runaway. And this is a preacher's daughter that was named after an American missionary. You can see her name on there, Linda. Sister Linda was somebody that everybody in the jungle loved. And so when the jungle pastor had his final baby, his baby girl, he named her Linda after the American missionary. And this is the case that drove the alphabet soup absolutely crazy. Not that they didn't know who I was or didn't arrest me twice on my way going to Washington a year ago just to go for a rally and, you know, say hi and walk the streets and see the sights. But this is what really caused them to go absolutely nuts. Now, you see it says localizada. That means found. That means that she has been located. And the good news is that this damaged, wounded little girl is back at home. But here's what is disturbing. I went to different authorities and I said, hey, I'm concerned that this girl is not safe. And she's been cut off from her whole family. I feel like every aspect of her life is controlled. I suspect that this is a classic trafficking case, and nobody was interested. Well, then I went to visit her. Now, in your excellent broadcast yesterday, Dave, you said, what do you want us to do? What do you want us to do about child trafficking? Well, here is what to do and what not to do. I went and found this girl, and I spoke to her for 1 minute in Spanish. And after speaking with her, I was ever the more convinced that she was in a very dangerous situation and was completely surrounded, rodeada, they say in Spanish, that she was completely surrounded and that all of her relationships were controlled and that she did not have the safe environment that a young gal should have. So I actually tweeted about this, but I didn't mention her name, her being a minor. And you know what, Coach? Everybody made fun of me and said, now, why do you think this girl's in danger? Why do you think this person's in danger? And I laid this out, why I thought, but everybody thought that I was nuts, Dave, until this poster came out. She was returned to Mexico, immediately ran away with a guy. It was very suspicious. And this is an all-points bulletin from the state of San Luis Potosí, where she's from, where she is an endangered runaway. And so now there's no more question about whether or not she was endangered or whether she was in a healthy situation. And this is what's hard for everybody, Dave, is they know that if they lift one finger to try to help somebody or to respond to a cry of help, that they will have lawfare come against them and it'll ruin their life.
So why do they hate you so much, Sam? Why do they hate you so much?
Well, because I believe in using force. Because I believe in using force, and we're gospel gunslingers. We use natural weapons and spiritual weapons. And those two are interrelated. It's real easy for the Christian to say, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, so they're all spiritual. Well, okay, the apostle said that to let everybody know that he was going to up the ante and he was going to use prophecy. Now, before this whole case, before I ever went to visit Linda, I went and prayed over the city. And I'll tell you where she was living is Franklin, Wisconsin, which is a suburb of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Spencer, I don't know if you have the Brett Blomey case on. It's a couple tweets down from this picture. So I went and prayed over the city and went and interceded. And just a couple more down, it'll say Brett Blomey keeps quiet. So I went and prayed over the city and maybe too far now. It's going to be in that same series.
I think you passed it. I think you passed it. Yep, right under Linda.
Well, here's what happened. We talk about the FBI being totally corrupt, and the FBI may be totally gone. I don't know if there's a good person still in the FBI, but here's that may be it. there are some good people in law enforcement. And after I went and prayed over the city, just drove around it, didn't talk to a single person, just went around and I prayed over the city. And I asked the Lord to bring to bear the weapons of his wrath. And what happened after that was the whole city was thrust into rioting. That's when the, who's the young guy that shot that rioter that was trying to kill him? Kyle Rittenhouse.
Yeah.
The Kyle Rittenhouse case popped open. And this is all the same area, Milwaukee, Kenosha, and there's little bedroom communities all in amongst with it. We're very, very close, Spencer. It's a linked article from 1130, newstalk1130.com. I think it's that one. And here's what it's about. There's actually two articles. One is that the pedophile judge who was a judge in the family court in Milwaukee was arrested for child porn.
I saw that.
His name's Brett Blomey. The police actually went into the courthouse. Because, you know, in the courthouse, there's the courthouses, but behind that is other passageways, and then the judge's chambers are all behind that. So it's really a big deal for the judge, and we see this on TV where he talks to Perry Mason and says, Counselor, would you join me in chambers? They're going into the back part of the courthouse where nobody's allowed. Those bailiffs guard those doors, so there's a whole secret half of the courthouse. Now, Brett Blomey's case was so serious. I think it wasn't TikTok. It was another app that he was using to send kiddie porn.
This is the judge. Police, this is the judge.
Judge. Over children, Dave.
Yeah.
This is a children's welfare judge that was hearing cases all day long. So, okay, your guest yesterday, people hear somebody like her talk. When they say, oh, the courtrooms, I never found one thing she said. I never found one good attorney ad litem out of 100 cases. Another thing she said is that the judges are in on it. The Child Protective Services is in on it, trafficking children and breaking any good home and sending the children to a corrupt, liberalized home. And that's too much for the average American to handle. But right here it is in print. The police went with a search warrant into the courthouse. Into the back part, into the chambers, and spent 3 hours in Brett Blomey's chambers and found the kiddie porn and arrested him.
Hmm.
So Brett Blomey is in big trouble. And then there's another article. It's probably one tweet down or up, which tells about how Brett Blomey was this golden boy of Milwaukee politics. And this is one of the most liberal cities in America, how he was connected to the entire network of the liberal mayor of Milwaukee. Remember, these are the people that didn't want federal help when they were having earlier riots. Major player in Democrat circles.
Wow.
Dan O'Donnell's radio show is excellent in the morning. You can catch it on News Talk 1130. I think it's 1130.com. But he, from the city of Milwaukee, is just trying every day to show that there's this enormous machine that consumes children, that consumes government money, that's in cahoots with the UN. He's an excellent local talk show host. I'd really like to get on his show. But this is what happened when we prayed, is that first the wave of riots happened. Elijah said that first came a stormy wind. And then this arrest of Brett Blomey, the child welfare judge, right there in Milwaukee.
So Sam, when you say pray, we begin to pray for these to be exposed. Is that what you said? Have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Direct our prayers on the offensive to pull the veil down, expose these things. Let us see these connections. Is that what you're talking about, Sam?
That's right. That's right. And God will do it. And once in a while, if anybody wonders what a real miracle looks like, I actually called my friend and I said, a miracle happened. The police actually went after the bad guys. That's, don't you think? Isn't that a miracle?
That is a miracle, brother. That's a miracle for sure. So they,
you know, if you go to the...
Go ahead, Sam.
Go ahead.
So they
if
hate...
you go to the border...
I'll shut up.
If you go to the border right now, let's say Coach Dave wanted to go across and eat a couple tacos and come right back across. Man, right there, they will take your vehicle apart with a fine-tooth comb ask you a million questions about where you've been. No welcome home. It's not the worst that it's ever been, but the searching is very, very, very thorough because there aren't very many vehicles that go back and forth.
So Sam, in other words, they can come across the border, nobody checks them, but for me to get in my car and try to drive into Mexico, I get the fifth degree. Is that what you're saying?
When you come back from U.S. Okay. Customs. 500 yards, the fence is down, and it's half of its proper height, and so there's migrants climbing over it, throwing kids over it, and then they run straight to the airport. They get a manila envelope, and that manila envelope, you know, I've ridden on the buses with these migrants with the manila envelopes. I've been in the bus station with them. I've been in, seen them on their way to the airport, and that manila envelope is God. It is like holy sanctum. The Border Patrol gets that and they look at it, but there's no further questions after that. So if you've heard about these manila envelopes that people have in place of, in lieu of any identification documents or any type of a passport or anything like that, it's true.
What is the manila, what's in the manila envelope? Anything or is it just a sign?
Well, money for starters. They do open them and look at them, but there's identity documents that, you know, they don't come out of a consulate. It's identity documents.
Where are they getting them,
Dan? By the charity.
Where are they
from
getting them?
From Catholic charities. Oh. They get them from Catholic charities.
Oh, no.
You know, Coach, as a young missionary in the 90s, I was in the south of Mexico, and I actually got captured by a communist guerrilla army called the Zapatista National Liberation Army. And they took me to their headquarters, a journalist from Mexico City and myself. So we were held captive in their stronghold. And this was all the news back in the 90s that there was this rebellion in Mexico. And who was running it was the Catholic Church, the European Union, and the Red Cross. They had three big tents labeled. And the main negotiator for the communist movement was the Archbishop Samuel Ruiz. So he was really the spokesperson that the subcomandante Marcos, the leader of the movement, would go through him to negotiate with government authorities. So I just say to everyone one more time, our forefathers fled from the popes. We've made a good run getting away from popery, but now they're coming with the one world religion. And just one more point on that. Arturo Sosa is from Venezuela. He's a communist. He is a liberation theologian. And this is the Black Pope today. This is the head of the Jesuit order. The Jesuit general today is Arturo Sosa from Venezuela in Latin America. And the Pope Francisco is also a Jesuit, also a Latin American. And he is also a strong believer in liberation theology.
Hey, Sam, so as much as Sam, I got to run up and get a blood pressure pill.
That's why I keep all my snacks here so I can calm down. And Dave, it's why I teach sitting down. Everything could just get completely off track.
Okay, now listen, Sam, I know you got a million more things to tell us, but folks are itching to get in here already. I can feel it. Can you just take some questions right now, Sam, and then go wherever you want to go with it, all right, buddy?
Let's go. And Spencer, can we go down to the global map with the three red arrows?
Okay, go ahead. Reggie, come on then Mel, then Larry.
Good morning. Thank you, Coach. Hey, Sam, you're just kind of like following up from yesterday. This is amazing, and it's God sent. I deal with survivors of child trafficking. And anyhow, what I wanted to tell you is going back, how do we help this? We have to expose it, but that's where it gets sticky because people that start to expose it, they back out because the heat starts to turn on them. And I know this from living it, but I don't back down. So we have to tear back the curtain and expose everything, names, but you know, people end up dead.
The false religious system. We hate to talk about that, don't we, Sam? But it's real.
Absolutely.
The false religious system. The Vatican is involved. The Jesuits are involved, right, Sam?
Yes.
That's 100% correct. And this is why, Reggie, I'm a refugee. Is because this was the final nail in the coffin head. The final nail in the coffin was that from this case, I have protective orders against me from Wisconsin. And you know about the red flag laws, you know about federal laws. So they were coming to make me defenseless against the anarchists.
They were coming to take your guns. They were going to come and take your guns. Is that right, Sam?
And I've been attacked by anarchists so many times. A lot of them are on YouTube where we're actually attacked. I stood right beside Alex Jones at the Beto rally in Austin, Texas, and just a whole wave of humans. It was like the zombie hordes came and bashed right into us, and we resisted that wave. And here's the thing, it can go violent at any time. The moment that somebody pulls an impact weapon, that's lethal force. An edged weapon is lethal force. Mm. And they have firearms, they have explosives. These anarchists are very dangerous, and they're given carte blanche to operate and to attack us. But like Reggie said, if you just so much as go, as a pastor that's known a person since they were born, go and visit them and talk to them for 1 minute. Oh, bang. The whole legal system of lawfare comes against you. And Coach, you know, you opened the show talking about being banned. There's a spiritual element to the banning. I mean, my Twitter account's still up, thank God, but I have 300 followers. Why is that? When I've broken stories that have gotten 500 retweets, et cetera, et cetera. This story that's up right now about military movements in Asia, nobody else put that together. Stories that when internal U.S. government gets a hold of it, they say, how did you put this together? Well, it was me that did it because I'm on the ground and because we're people of prayer. And so the fact that I got 300 followers is just ridiculous. There is a clear throttling the moment that
shadow banning all that
started.
Yeah. Come on
but
in now.
There's a spiritual element to it. Let me just finish that real quick. There's a spiritual element to it also, where people don't like you, where you're not moving in the favor of God, where there's resistance at every point. I used to walk down the street, and out of the corner of my sunglasses, I could see every driver in every car scowling at me like, that guy's the problem, why this town is not right. Mm. And that's the spiritual element, and that's part of the reproach of the cross that we have to willingly take up. And if you're part of a church that doesn't preach that, that just says, oh, everything's going to be grand, now we move into favor and we move into blessing and we have favor with kings. But that's after battling it out with the forces of darkness.
Wow,
and so
be ready
to do that. Be part of a church that's doing that.
We're trying to raise them up, Sam. Come on in, Mel, and then Larry, then Myra.
Hey, Sam, thanks for being here. Hey, I wanted you to circle back to the Red Cross. You know, I've had some questions about that, you know, with, you know, the fact that they collect blood and, you know, and the most prominent buildings and areas, like they reserve those for if there's an emergency. And actually our church is one of those buildings. And anyway, I just have some questions about the Red Cross. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, not only that, Sam, the government always tells us to give to the Red Cross, which is a real red flag to me. Go ahead, bud.
Well, they're congressionally chartered, so it makes one wonder what the separation is and how much conjoined at the hip the Red Cross is with the American government. You know, even at John 3:16, if a guy comes in off the street and wants a shower, he's got to throw down his DEL. He's got to have his driver's license and throw it down. And it's put into a database. This is not the right hand not knowing what the left hand does. This is not the type of giving that Jesus taught us to do, these massive juggernauts. We need to be involved on our local level. And I'll tell you what, when stuff hits the fan, this is the point where people are going to have to quickly decide who to trust. You're going to have to make a judgment.
Folks, listen to me. We've done a lot of disaster relief. I'm going to tell you this. The Red Cross is a government agency. No doubt about it. The Red Cross is a government agency. Go ahead, Sam.
Well, if you go to another country, it's the Red Crescent. It's not even the cross. So the fact that they're going to compromise that one thing, which is pretty central, crucial to who they claim to be, and they're going to abandon that for the opposite and throw the moon god up in a Muslim country, but a Muslim country, it just goes to show you that they're not what they claim to be. And on this, I love it where the Blues Brothers get pulled over. And old Dan Aykroyd says, oh, no, they've got skamads. Skamads? And then they decide to run from the police. And, of course, that's State, County, Municipal Offender Data System. It was the first computers in cop cars and came out of the Blues Brothers. In what year was that, 79? Here's a couple guys just trying to get out and play music and help the orphans, right? Yeah. So we relate to that a little bit. But here's the thing. Everybody wonders why Joplin, Missouri got blown off the map by the hand of God. And I have a whole video on this. It's on my channel. It's on the Raiding the Castle Dracula playlist on my – just search Gospel Gunslingers or Honold Samuel on YouTube. I tell about how in Joplin, Missouri, all the ministries were united and they had an electronic data system to log every person who came in and got any benevolence, which, Dave, when if somebody came to your desk, if a student came, if a player of yours came and laid his heart out, the last thing that a reasonable minister is going to do is run that up the flagpole. But that is the Catholic way. You would keep those secrets and maintain that confidence, and then you would give them your counsel. Well, in Joplin, they had a schemat all set up, and it was three Catholic churches that ran it, and 50 churches in all, and there was also very heavy, sophisticated witchcraft involved in that city, and under the surface, drug and human trafficking. And so I break it all down. It's a lot to swallow. It's the most controversial of my 200-plus videos that are up and out there. And if anybody wants to know how dangerous these super juggernaut ministries are and the One World Super Church is, it's the mark of the beast.
One World Super Church. What a word. One World Super Church. That's right up Larry's alley. Come on in, Larry, then Myra, then Roger.
Amen. One you World know, first Super of all, Church. I want to say, Sam, I really feel for you on your fear of the government. Drones were following Mavoy Finicum. In fact, it was an FBI drone that got the most explosive viral video of his assassination when he was assassinated right. 5 years ago. And so those drones, when they can put the drones after you, they are out to get you. They want to kill you. Now, the second thing I want to say is I would like to ask you to, if you can figure out how to do it, stop referring to churches, the false churches as churches. Refer to them as false church. Don't say the churches are doing this. The churches are doing that, because those are not churches. Those are satanic social clubs led by Satan's minions, and there's nothing godly about them. And people, like you said at the beginning, they need to come out from among them and walk a true course instead of following the false satanic leadership.
I'm gonna get Larry a t-shirt. Come on in, Myra, then Roger.
Wait, let me respond to that.
Go ahead.
So I rocked up on one of my friends the other day, and he had his Bible open to the chapter, to the book of Acts, and I peeked over his shoulder, and it was the 19th chapter, chapter 19 of the book of Acts. And I said, I love that chapter. I love it. And he goes, what? And I said, listen, three times you see the word churches, or the ecclesia is used, and it's not translated church, two times. One time, it's a base word other than ecclesia, and it's translated church. These men are not robbers of churches. So here's the thing. If the ice cream man, okay, I'm in Mexico, and when the garbage man or the ice cream man, the loudspeakers will go down the street, the bells will tinkle. So if the ice cream man comes and he's tinkling the bell, and somebody comes out of this house and some kids from that house, an old timer from this other house, and there gets to be a little crowd gathered in the street, that is ecclesia. Hmm. That's ecclesia. Now, in Spanish, they say iglesia. And when you talk about the big stone edifice that's built with the blood of slaves, they say that's the iglesia. So it's completely lost in the Spanish language. In the English language, we have this thing, church. And it is a dirty word to me, Larry. I'm sorry. You know, somebody said to me the other day, they said, I think you have a lot of hurt church, a lot of church hurt. And he said, I think you have a lot of church hurt. And I said, yeah, but I hurt churches back. So we got an understanding. Well, here's the thing. The disciples, if you look at Paul going into the synagogues, which were really the churches of the day, and reasoning, most of the time it came to a head where he had to use prophecy. And I'm prepared to do that. And this is part of what a gospel gunslinger is somebody that's prepared to use force in the natural and in the spirit realm. And this is what happens when someone's true-hearted and they come and they extend the terms of peace and they're spat upon. That's when we undust our feet and go away. And that's when the wrath of God comes on works and cities. And so, Larry, it's a good point about what a church is and what it isn't. I'd really like for everybody to look at Acts 19 and to study that word ecclesia and to understand that we have been sold the Catholic model from the very, very beginning. You know, one of the ministries that's really out rocking things and getting people healed faster than what I've ever seen. You know, Dave, I actually got some heat taken off because we used to get people healed just once in a while. You know, we'd see a healing miracle, thank God. And the alphabet soup chased us around just for that. And not just the FBI, it was CIA, it was military directives. General Albert Stubblebine walked into my friend Dennis Tarpin's homeless shelter in Quincy, Illinois, disfrazado, disguised as a bum. And it was none other than Bert Stubblebine III, the head of all U.S. military paranormal investigations. Wow. And they had a conversation where the angels manifested because he used his magic powers. Before he finally died, someone asked him, General, this stuff about men staring at goats, is that real about remote viewing? Is it real? And this is what Bert said. He said, he took a deep breath and he said, it is real. I'm just not concerned. I'm just not convinced how wholesome it is. So he basically said that the demonic element of his life's work was extremely dangerous. So when the last Reformation came out and Torben Sondergaard, who's now a refugee and asylum seeker in the United States, he was thrown out of his native Denmark, fled for his life because they passed new laws for him to get him and to take his kids. So he's in the United States and he's got people out that haven't studied the Bible, come straight out of the world. They don't know beans and they move in the miraculous and they're having to catch up and do some of what you've taught over the years, Coach, and learn their way around the word. But the fact that the Lord has sent this wave of the miraculous has really taken the heat off. And that's why I was able for a couple of years to scoot around and check in on the different tent revivals and things that were happening in the USA.
Myra, come on in, then Roger, then Rochelle.
Good morning, saints. Praise the Lord Jesus for Coach Dave's show. It's a blessing every single morning.
Thank you.
Welcome, Brother Samuel Hanek. I have a question. I am a therapist, and I usually tell the parents, well, you need to get a lawyer. Some of them cannot get a lawyer. And I pray for them and in my own time intercede before God. What else can I do to help these people?
Okay, the jury system has really been corrupted from what it originally was. In Tulsa, Oklahoma, a city where I stood watch for 18 years as the old order disintegrated, which was a very sad thing to have to observe every day, I watched it all burn down. I watched it all from the rooftops as the whole city collapsed in on itself. And finally, one thing happened. They brought in the sheriff before a grand jury, and it was one of these racially charged shooting incidents. And here's what the sheriff said. He said, I'm not opposed to going before the grand jury as long as it's properly impaneled. Now, on one hand, this experiment was a success because the grand jury was assembled, was impaneled, and the sheriff was removed. On the other hand, it was a failure because proper empanelment means that the government sanctions it. And the whole idea of a petite jury or a grand jury is that the people of the community are coming together. Okay, the police don't get to arrest somebody and try them for a capital crime, like murder, if they are not indicted by a grand jury. This is one of our rights in the Bill of Rights, is the right to indictment by a grand jury for capital or notorious crimes. So they have a right to 23 people from the community getting together. And if those people can't agree that they need to be tried, then the process doesn't even start. Now that's been corrupted. And now the government runs it. The government picks every person that's on it. They make sure that no person that's on it, they cross-examine them very carefully to make sure that they don't know their rights. Well, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen very shortly. Very shortly, the lights are going to go out. and nobody's going to be answering 911. And people are going to have to decide when to use force. And I mean lethal force. You know, Dave, I've also done disaster work. I used to run air sending search and rescue dogs. I worked at Hurricane Katrina. I worked Hurricane Rita. I've still got my FEMA hall pass from working Hurricane Katrina. And then by 2007, it became clear that they didn't want civic organizations.
That's right, brother.
You had to be a company man all the way. And they didn't even want volunteers unless they were a cop or a firefighter or a paramedic in their town. So I got a question for all of you out there. You know what a paramedics and firefighters have in common? Both of them are cops. And so are teachers, for that matter. So this is where government overreach has made this conglomeration, this juggernaut. And if you want to know what's wrong with your children, look at the education system, which is just rife with these weirdos. So in the event that a guy snuck into the jungle and purported himself to be a preacher and grabbed a jungle pastor's little daughter and paid a corrupt attorney who's now in prison for falsification of documents to get her across to the United States, and then took her home to his little town. Why would a guy do that? In theory, why would he do that? Because he's confident that his buddy system, that his pedo network in the government, in the judges, in the police, in the ministry, by the way, there's a Catholic seminary right down the street in Franklin, Wisconsin. He's confident, and in the schools and in the teachers and in child protective services, he was 100% confident. He would have theoretically been 100% confident that nobody would go in and crack that, and that nobody would show up and say hi and be ready to fight.
Amen. Wow.
So let me just – the question was very clear. What do we do? You be ready to get together with your people of your neighborhood and impanel a jury, because there's going to be nobody else to do it. And this is how the West was won. This is how the original gunslingers operated. And there were white hat gunslingers that were ready to use lethal force. They had their pistols on, and they were going to find the bad guy and either try him or face him in mortal combat right then and there at high noon. And we need to be ready to do that. Everybody wants somebody else to do the heavy lifting. And what's the heavy lifting? The pulling the lever, the pulling the trigger.
Who is the police if the police go away? Right, Sam? That's what you're asking. Who's the police?
They're going to be gone. They're going to guard their stuff.
Amen. Rochelle.
Hey, good morning, team. Hi, Sam. Thanks for coming on. I hear you on Dave Hodges, and your knowledge base of where all the battleships are and submarines are is amazing. I don't know how you know that. So I know that you've got a frame of reference that of their three world wars have already been planned out for us. And, you know, what Pike said, that they want to unleash some great social cataclysm so that the people destroy each other and their government. So how do you think this propaganda for the people of Mexico to come to the United States by flooding our borders, how do you think that is affecting this whole, their whole plan?
Good question, Rochelle. What do you think, Sam?
Okay, let's go. Let me wrap up because I know we'll go into the internet show here. You can find all that information that she's talking about on gospelgunslingers.com as long as I can pay for it. I really need to move that site out of the country. It's one of the things that I'm working on doing. And also, right there it says, please follow on all platforms because I'm a one-man operation. And some things are on Twitter, which could get shut off any day. Some things are on Telegram. Telegram is where we have our three-minute Bible verse of the day every day for gospel gunslingers. And so that is where the gold mine is and the wealth of information to answer all of your questions and even more. But I'm going to just tell you one thing. It's the Bush-Clinton conglomerate that worked with rebel governor Cabeza de Vaca, who's still in Tamaulipas state. He has not been arrested, or he's protected by his own buddy network. So he is the head of a transnational criminal organization. And it's mostly people from Central America and from South America. Congresswoman Norma J. Torres, a communist congresswoman, Guatemalan born from Southern California, she actually admitted, and I have this tape in Spanish on my YouTube, that the migrants are coming from Venezuela. And that's what's been encouraged. For a long time, we had it blocked at the Northern Triangle because Trump got in and made excellent deals with the governments of Guatemala, El Salvador, and Honduras. But Biden went in and took all the money and refunneled it directly to the NGOs that are the criminals that work with the transnational organizations. So don't hate Mexico. Don't hate brown people. It's really Bush. It's really the Bushes that are behind it all.
Wow, Sam, listen, we gotta go, Sam. How can we help you?
I got a donate button right on my page, gospelgunslingers.com. I get letters in the mail. There are a number of ways to reach out, but I really covet your prayers and your financial support because I've burnt the bridge this time. The alphabet soup was on me so hard, I have had to go. So I live in Mexico. I'm not authorized to work in Mexico. All I do is my journalism work and just a little bit of jungle ministry. So any help is very much appreciated. There's a video called Quarantine where I show how far a very small donation goes. And then I do have to travel around the Republic and do things. So it takes a lot of money that I don't have. It's a transitional time where I'm really in great danger, and I appreciate everybody's prayers.
Sam, we're on your team. We're on your team. We pray you're on our team. We're up against the clock. I'll see a lot of you in Brookville, Ohio this weekend. Dr. Sherry Timpenny's going to be there. Hang in there with us, Sam. We'll continue the conversation afterwards. Folks, now's the time, baby. We are right in the middle of the vortex. Time to stand up and be counted. Thanks, Sam, for being with us. God bless you, folks. We'll see you Monday morning.